Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. For better or worse, weddings can be emotionally charged events. The ceremony may signify a simple union of two people, but it also joins their families, their heritages, their communities, their cultures. So a lot is at stake in the planning and expectations of the entire affair, whether it's finding the right venue, hiring the best caterer, or choosing the perfect dress. In the new exhibit, Just Married, Wedding Stories from Jewish Maryland, the Jewish Museum of Maryland takes a historical look at all those gritty details and explores what a wedding represents for a family and for a community. The museum's Associate Director for Projects Planning and Finance, Tracy Guy Ducker, is in the studio to walk us through the exhibit, the highlights, and talk about what went into planning this big event, which runs through September 17th. Welcome, Tracy.
Thanks for having me.
What's the significance of looking at weddings in Maryland's Jewish community?
Well, so the big idea for the exhibit that we had is that a wedding is a moment that can only be, you can only make one choice. You can only wear one dress. You can only say one set of words. And so the couple has multiple identities, right? They're Jewish, they're American, maybe there's a Reform Jew, maybe there's a conservative Jew, maybe they're both Reform, but one goes to one temple and one goes to another. And they have to figure out how they're going to combine all of those things into a single moment. And so our idea was that the wedding was a specific moment we could look at where individuals, couples, communities are navigating the competing demands of their multiple identities.
So it's kind of a sociological point.
Yes. It is. Sociological, anthropological. I mean, it's sort of the ways that I think we all have multiple identities today, you know, whether we're Jewish or not, you know, Italian or even just from the West Side. Whatever it is, there are different ways. I mean, that's sort of the nature of what people talk about, intersectionality, like all of the different ways in which pieces of me make me me.
So what did you find as you looked into this?
Well, it was interesting. We found there's one couple in particular who we highlight, the Kirshners, who got married in 1924. And one of the things I found really interesting about them is we have Mrs. Kirshner's dress and her headpiece and veil. We also have her shoes, and she was very fashionable in 1924. So it's a beautiful flapper dress with hand beading. But we also have a picture of them under their chuppah, which is the wedding canopy, in which there is visible an American flag and an electrified Star of David, which I find absolutely fascinating that they it was important to the Kirshners to signify themselves as American, as Jewish, as modern with these electric lights in the 20s, like all of these things baked into their wedding moment.
That is fascinating. Other moments like that?
There's another one where we have an oral history. A couple talks about having multiple clergy members because they had to try to combine. I don't remember who was who, but one was Orthodox and one was Reform, which today actually sounds crazy. It's hard to imagine Orthodox and Reform members getting married today in 2017. But in the mid-20th century, it wasn't such a crazy idea. But they did need to have two clergy members officiate at their wedding.
You've told us some of what's in the exhibit. Overall, what can visitors expect to see?
There's a lot of textiles. So I think we have 14 dress forms. So it's not all dresses. There's mostly dresses, but we also have a couple of tuxes or suits. There are two people getting married. It's not just a woman's thing. And so we wanted to make sure that we talk about both members of the couple. In fact, one of the suits was a man who got married to another man. So we were trying hard to actually tell a broad story, not to normalize one picture, but actually to really sort of open it up and say a Jewish wedding is when a Jewish person gets married, not rather than us defining what it looks like. So there's a lot of textiles, which are really, really beautiful and fun. There's also paper artifacts. The oldest artifact in the exhibit is from the 1830s. It's a ketubah, which is a marriage contract, handwritten here in Baltimore, which I find exciting to you know, spell out, transliterated the word Baltimore in Hebrew letters on the page. So that's the oldest artifact in the exhibit hall. We also have really fun things like cake toppers and a cigar box that was a favor from a wedding in the 20s, I want to say, although I may be wrong about that. So lots of really fun and unexpected things.
What's unexpected about the cake topper that you referred to?
Well, the cake topper, we have two cake toppers, artifacts. One is from the mid-20th century, I want to say the 60s, and the other one is from the early 20th century. And sort of seeing how they're the same and how they're different is kind of interesting. The one from the mid-20th century, the folks who lent it to us got it from their kosher caterer, and they insist that the groom has a kippah, yarmulke, on. It's hard to tell if it's really there or not. And so that's also like an interesting moment where to the groom at whose cake topper it was, there's a yarmulke on that little plastic man's head. But to the visitor several decades later, not so clear.
You mentioned the caterer. I get part of this exhibit deals with the business of weddings.
That's correct. Yeah, we have a whole zone called the business of weddings where it's a little bit from the vendor's perspective about the work that they do to try and make other people's special days special, and a little bit about the way that we as individual members of the couple hold on to the ephemera of the actual planning and purchasing, you know, so saving receipts, for instance, as an action that we do to help us commemorate the day.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Jewish Museum of Maryland Associate Director Tracy Guy Decker about the latest exhibit, Just Married, Wedding Stories from Jewish Maryland. I was intrigued to see that part of the exhibit deals with obstacles the couple faces.
Yes, indeed. We wanted to plan the exhibit thematically. And so the obstacles that one faces on their way to the chuppah, the wedding canopy, we felt like was an important section. And it's interesting, we had fewer artifacts for that section.
I can well imagine.
Yeah. So the exhibit is set up so that in each of the five zones, you meet a couple as sort of the primary story. The couple you meet in the obstacle section, the Zellers, were married in a DP camp after World War II. So we do not have artifacts from their wedding. We do have a photo, which is lovely. But the artifact that we have on display there is actually a baby carriage that they bought when they knew they were coming to the United States, and they knew they weren't going to be able to bring cash. They decided to invest in this baby carriage, and then they had it shipped. So we have the carriage and the crate is the artifacts that you see instead of a dress or a tuxedo when you meet the Zellers.
And there's part that you described as generation to generation.
Yes. So the point that we make there, I mean, the big idea point is that this moment in time actually has reverberations forward, not just for the couple, but for their kids and grandkids and community members. The way that we show that with artifacts is in a couple ways. One, we have several dresses where either the dress itself that we have on display or in photos were worn by multiple brides, either through generations or in one case a student asks a beloved teacher if she may borrow her wedding dress. And also from the early 20th century, 1902 was the wedding. In 1904, when their first son was born, the bride decided to turn her bridal train into the bris gown, so the gown for the circumcision ceremony for her son. And so we have the gown is part of our collections. The bris gown is part of our collection. So, but just the way that we reuse and repurpose, one bride, mother of a bride, had the mother's wedding dress deconstructed and then reconstructed as the canopy. So we have that canopy that once was the dress of the mother of the bride, and all those kind of creative ways that we sort of create connections across time and across generations with our things.
Yeah, I would think the wedding is a moment when young people who might not have before then paid a whole lot of attention to their parents' story at any point in life, all of a sudden get interested in the obstacles their parents faced or just how their parents chose to mark that transition in their lives.
I don't know if it's true that kids don't pay attention before the wedding, although I definitely see where they would pay closer attention when they're planning their own weddings. I think that that just in general, I mean, think about every home that you go into, like how many of them have a wedding photo framed or many wedding photos framed. It's one of the big life cycle events that we choose to commemorate. In fact, the final wall of the exhibition, we have a number of photos and artifacts and ketubas, which is the wedding contract, all framed. And the point there we made very explicitly, all of the items that are framed on that wall were framed by the original owners, not by the museum. And so that we made that point very explicitly, that moments from the wedding we want to hold on to and remind ourselves of over and over again. So I do believe, though, that, as you say, kids may walk past that framed thing hundreds of times, but then as they're young adults planning their own wedding, all of a sudden it takes on new meaning and new resonance.
What kind of interactives are there in this exhibit?
They're so fun. There's a seating chart game. It's a puzzle. So there are rules because the two families don't get along so well. And so you have to, you know, it's kind of like a Sudoku. It's a word puzzle where you have to make sure that you have members of all three of the families represented at each of the tables, but you can't separate these people and you can't have too many. You know, it's very complicated. And I admit I couldn't solve it without help.
Wow.
But it's pretty fun. There's a touch interactive where we have all these descriptions of gowns that were made of organza or file or various different kinds of fabric that most of us today have no idea sensory what that feels like. So we allow you to actually touch those different kinds of fabrics and actually feel what they're like.
Also, you have an online component?
We do. It's a collecting initiative. So our very ambitious goal is to try and get a photo and invitation from every Jewish wedding that has ever taken place in the state of Maryland, which we recognize is very ambitious. But we set it that way because we wanted to make sure that folks who hear about it don't think we don't mean them. We mean you.
We mean you.
Yeah.
And you're hosting a stoop storytelling show with
a
wedding theme.
To close the exhibition on the very last day that the exhibit is open,
which is
September 17th. That's correct. So actually there's a call for storytellers out right now. We're in the process of working with Stoop to find our community storytellers to tell their funny or poignant or interesting story specifically about getting married. Not being married, but getting married.
And that will be September 17th.
Correct.
You also have some lectures during the course of this exhibit.
Yes. We often try to bring programming into the museum that supports our exhibit. So we have our collections manager, who actually was also the curator for this exhibit, will be talking to folks about preserving their memories. So like how to take care of your things to make sure that they will stick around, from your dress to flowers to whatever, you know, paper ephemera you might want. We also have a scholar coming to talk about the myth of the authentic Jewish wedding. So we have this sense within the Jewish community that some of the sort of iconic moments of the Jewish wedding are 5,000 years old. For instance, stepping on the glass or the veil or whatever it might be. And so this scholar actually does the research to figure out when did they in fact become commonplace. And it's often much more recent than we are led to believe.
As you researched the exhibit, did any trends emerge or any surprise finds?
One of our interactives talks about trends in gifts. You know, we have like lists of what folks received as wedding gifts. And so you'll see like we have somebody who in the 20s received like 8 bonbon dishes, which I guess is a candy dish. So there were sort of silly trends like that. The surprises were, you know, individual stories. Was every story is different. We have a Chinese marriage certificate in the exhibition because there was a couple who were in the Jewish community in Shanghai who had, and they got married 3 or 4 times because they got married first civil, legally, and then a Jewish wedding, and then they wanted the Chinese authorities apparently wanted them to have a Chinese language ceremony, so they also have this Chinese certificate. So, you know, stories like that every couple has their own little story that's a surprise and just a delightful nugget to discover.
It sounds like there's a lot to see. Thank you for telling us about it.
Thank you.
Tracy Guy-Decker is Associate Director of the Jewish Museum of Maryland. We've been talking with her about the museum's latest exhibit, Just Married, Wedding Stories from Jewish Maryland, which runs through September 17th. We have links to information about the exhibit and associated events at the On the Record page at WYPR.org.
Short break on the record, and when we come back, the second installment of More Than Words, a series about and reported by high school students in Baltimore. I'm Sheila Kast. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Kast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.